During these first days of Holy Week, we have, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we have the first three servant songs. These are those prophetic, mysterious description. The first three, the servant speaks himself. The fourth one, the one we have on Good Friday, we looked at him and there was no beauty. We couldn't recognize him. He was marred beyond human appearance. He was, and yet it was our sins that he bore. And you know the text. Huh? So the first three servant songs are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then Friday, the fourth one. So that's why we have these texts from Isaiah. And if you ponder them, you enter into the mystery of how Jesus' suffering sets us free. You see, hear me, O islands, listen, O distant peoples. The Lord called me from birth, from my mother's womb. He gave me my name. Now, see, what kind of a mystic was this? Who is speaking in the name of a servant yet to be born centuries later, and providing us with this gift that we can understand who Jesus is and who he is as servant, you see. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me. You are my servant, avdi. The word in Hebrew for servant is ebed, or ebed. And then avdi, you are my servant. What an honor. But this is Jesus. You see? You are my servant. Israel, through whom I show my glory. There's always ambiguity in these things on purpose. Because Jesus is Israel. He's the summation. He is the chosen one in the chosen people. Because he is united hypostatically to the very word of God himself. And so, and then, though I thought I had toiled in vain and for nothing, uselessly spent my strength. He felt that in the agony in the garden. Yet my reward is with the Lord, my recompense is with my God. For now the Lord has spoken, who formed me as his servant from the womb. How did this mystic, probably 7th century B.C., know about this? How did he put these words in the mouth of a servant yet to be born? And how did he understand the role of vicarious suffering? You see, as the fourth servant song says, and we have that on Good Friday, it was our sins that he bore. You see, on him were the stripes that healed us. You see? Ponder these. Has spoken, formed me as his servant from the womb, that Jacob may be brought back to him, Israel gathered to him. And I am made glorious in the sight of the Lord, and my God is now my strength. Look at part of that glory. That's love. And love is glorious. I will restore the survivors of Israel. And then, and to whom is this last line addressed? It's hard to know. I will make you a light to the nations. That's the servant. That my salvation may reach to the ends of the world. But doesn't our Lord say, you are the light of the world, right? You don't light a candle and put it under a bushel basket. You let it shine. That's what Holy Week's all about. So start praying for your neighbors and see if maybe you can't bring one of them along to Good Friday or Holy Saturday or something, just so that they're touched a bit. And then the gospel. In the gospel, we're presented with two traitors, Judas and Peter. And the church is saying, look, we're all traitors. It's just up to us which kind we want to be. The kind who despairs of God's mercy, or the kind who accepts his mercy and is reconciled and becomes pope. The two. And they're there, and they'll be there Holy Thursday at the Last Supper, you know, when we read that account. In other words, we're all traitors. But now it's up to us what kind of traitor we want to be. Can we accept the mercy, pure mercy, born of his blood? That's our entrance into eternal life. And so that's why the church does this. Then tomorrow we'll have the last of these, chapter 50. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue that I might know how to speak to the weary, a word that will rouse them. Isn't that true? Don't the words of Jesus rouse us, encourage us, give us hope, know that we're forgiven?